This is a presentation of Dawn Forge Productions.
You're listening to All Things Azeroth, episode 627, Wandering the Paths of Possibility. Today's sponsor is Audible. Get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABooks2019. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2019. Over 200,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. We're also sponsored by Funko, maker of the world's broadest selection of vinyl figures from Pops Adorbs, Rise to Mugs, and so much more. Check them out at bit.ly/FunkoATA.
Coming to you from the exotic land known as Canada, you're listening to another episode of All Things Azeroth. Now presenting your hosts, the always stalwart and honorable Medros, the commander of the Fell and master of demons, Fandeth, the still not a meat shield, Toasty, and the high priestess of the Everlight, Allie.
But I'm not from Canada.
It's okay, we'll make it work. You're an honorary Canadian. Bringing you your news from the World of Warcraft, this is All Things Azeroth.
And welcome back to All Things Azeroth, your World of Warcraft podcast. I'm your host, Medros, and with me I have Allie. How are you, Allie?
I'm good. It's snowy here, which, you know, happens in Colorado. But I'm not a popsicle, so I'm doing pretty good.
That's always appreciated when you're not a popsicle. Must chatter to the teeth and, you know, you can actually speak.
I can move my body parts. You know, it helps.
Indeed. And we also have Toasty. Hey, Toasty.
Hello.
Oh, I'm so sorry for mentioning the score, man. I'm so sorry.
It's just the perfect cap to the day that has been today.
Did you have a Monday, Toasty?
I've been having a Monday. It's still very much a Monday because, I've made so many stupid mistakes today. It's just... yeah. Is it Tuesday yet? Better yet, is it Thursday yet? I'll take Thursday.
Sadly, no. I'm sorry.
It's all right. So I'll wait.
Perhaps next week.
What do you mean next week? Thursday's in 3 days.
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to get that much better. I'm sorry.
But Thursdays are always great. It's because it's Critical Role Day. That's why it's great.
What if it was like, what if everybody was sick that day?
What's that?
What if everybody from Critical Role was sick that day? Then it wouldn't be a good Thursday, would it?
What did I do to you?
Would you like me to provide you with the catalog of past episodes?
Do you make a list of that?
Not yet, but I can. It wouldn't take me very long. I'd be pretty much a list of every episode you've been on. Because every episode has at least one point where you've earned this.
That's not true. Not every episode.
Almost every episode.
I can think of one. That would have been the Warrior Cast episode. No, I definitely would have thrown shade.
I wasn't on that episode, though.
And now that I think about it, I definitely would have thrown shade on that episode. Like, there's almost...
Yeah, because you had Trashing Paladins that episode.
Like, there is a 0% chance there was no shade on that episode. Okay, fine, you win.
All right. Glad we can agree on that. How was your weekend, WoW?
It was very good. I got a whole bunch of stuff. I got me a 405 weapon, which is great. Got me a new ring. I think it was 380, so that was great. I got a whole bunch of stuff that was great.
Yeah, there's a 385, actually, just, you know.
385 ring. See, that's even greater. Oh, I haven't put a gem in that yet. Oh my god, I'm such a noob.
It's kind of
Oh my god. I'm Mondaying on Desert on Monday.
You should be punished for that. Like, that's just rookie move right there.
Well, it doesn't matter because I'm a 381 item level, which is great.
I'm sure it is.
Sadly, like, I spent a not insignificant amount of time of my playtime in WoW lately, like, trying to find a decent looking transmog to go with those boots that I'm wearing. Because the boots that I'm using, and for anybody who doesn't have a quick link to my armory page, so everybody but Medros. the Night Elven boots. The boots you get from Darkshore, the plate boots specifically, as a Draenei, like, it actually covers your entire foot, hoof included, which just looks great. Rare.
Yeah. Huh.
It's literally the only set of boots I have that covers the entire hoof.
Yeah, definitely.
So now I am desperately trying to find a mog that fits it. And outside of the obvious full set of Darkshore gear, I think I've done a pretty good job. I threw a link out there in Discord to my armory. Like, the pants are a little bit off, and the belt is, like, it fits, but not quite.
Yeah, the belt's a little off, but the rest of it, I think it works. Just the belt's a little, but it's not so off that it's like, OMG, this is horrible. Like, it still works.
Yeah,
that's good.
But yeah, I think I spent at least an hour on Friday night.
That's awesome.
Trying to figure something out, and that's what I ended up with. There were a couple shoulders I was playing around with too, and it was either the wrong shade of purple or the trim was a different color, and that was, like, annoying, and it was different enough to annoy me and to not want to use it. It was a whole thing. So yeah, there was a good chunk of my WoW time spent playing dress up with my doll. But it's okay, because the doll looks great now. Especially with those swords. I really like those two-handed swords. Like, I wasn't sure what I was gonna... I wasn't sure what I was expecting for, like, a Night Elf-themed two-handed sword. But what they gave us actually looks really good. I'm really happy with that.
I have to agree. It definitely looks great.
So yeah, I did a whole bunch of stuff on my warrior. World quests. Time walking. Oh man, time walking was interesting. Like, it was time walking Pandaria, and I loved the Pandaria dungeons. They were great, but, like, I felt like I just kept getting Mogashon vaults over and over again. I think of the six dungeon runs I did, three of them were Mogashon vaults. So that was,
it happens with me and Wrath for Huzzle Lightning for some reason. I keep getting that one.
Yeah, I noticed that too. When I'm leveling up through Wrath, I can always get Huzzle Lightning. Don't know why. And, like, so I kind of wished, like, my experience of the dungeons in Pandaria time walking were greater. It's like three Mogashon vaults. And I think I got two. I got, oh, what's that dungeon where you have to deal with, get the fight, what's his name, Taren Zhu at the end.
Is that Shadow Pan Monastery?
Yeah, I got Shadow Pan Monastery twice, and, like, if you're with a group who's smart, it's not bad.
Yeah, that's true.
But I wasn't. So, just all sorts of pulling of unnecessary ads. Like, in that part right before the bridge, you know, you can kind of skirt around and not pull every single one of those Shaw ads.
Right, but not everyone knows that you can do that.
Hmm? Yeah. Yeah, and I get that. I understand that you need that not everybody will know that, because they may not have run that content a lot. But if somebody puts it out there about what you can do, you acknowledge what can be done, and then ignore it, that's kind of where I take issue.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, okay, thanks. By the way, I'm going to keep running through the middle of all this trash. Why? Why? If you're just trying to grind, if you're trying to grind up XP and just kill all the things, that's fine. I get that. You want to level up quickly?
Perhaps they're trying to earn hatred with the player reputation faction.
I mean, they had to have been it because every single one of us was level capped, so nobody was trying to grind out experience.
Did you happen to catch which server they were from?
I did not. I was very tired at the time.
Because there's two servers that I get meshed up with once in a while. It's, I want to say, Goldrin and Kel'Thalas, that have actually some Spanish-speaking players in there, and they legitimately don't know what you're saying sometimes. Just playing devil's advocate. I mean, you never know. I mean,
that could be it.
But you also probably got someone that just legitimately was not reading chat, because that happens all the time, too.
Oh, no. They were reading chat. They acknowledged what was said in chat.
Yikes.
They just ignored it. Like, okay, thanks. Thanks for the tip. Or something along those lines. And then they ran through the middle. Why? I just wanted my five. I just wanted my five so I could get the box of goodies. Yeah. Oh, well, whatever. I got my box of goodies. I got my ring. So, you know, whatever. What else did I do? I attempted playing my paladin for a bit more, and in what apparently is a just theme for me for the past couple days, I rapidly got disinterested. I think I finished.
I'm utterly shocked by that information, Toasty. I'm utterly shocked.
By my rapid disinterest in things lately?
I thought you meant rapid disinterest in playing a paladin, but okay.
No, I mean, I've come out and said, like, as I've been leveling up this paladin, I've actually had fun playing on the paladin. It's just, you know, I logged in, I think it was Saturday afternoon. Like, okay, I'm gonna put some time in on the paladin and all that other good stuff. I got through one set of turn-ins on Kuldara, and then, like, thought about doing other stuff. I'm queue for a dungeon for a little bit. Oh, I've been in the queue for 20 minutes and nothing's happened. Well, I'm just gonna drop and quest some more. So I pick up some more quests, start flying towards the area, and then I'm like, you know what? No, I don't feel like doing that. So I earth back and log back into the warrior. Rapid disinterest in everything lately, and it's not limited to WoW. I'm having fun playing WoW when I find something that I'm actually in, when something really grabs me. But like the trip to like being engaged and rapid disinterest is, well, it's rapid. I mean, I guess it's there in the descriptor. Maybe I'm just going stir crazy. That's got to be it. Like, it's been hanging in.
Winter does that to people.
Yeah, I that has to be a factor in everything. And it's too cold to go out anywhere.
You're also dieting, and dieting does that too. So the combination of the two sometimes can just kick your butt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All that, and it's minus 52 Celsius.
Ugh. So you're a popsicle.
That's gotta
nothing
be
like going to a wintry zone in WoW when you're knowing it's cold outside, eh?
Yep. And you know, nothing screams wintry zone in WoW like almost all of Northrend. Like, yeah, except for Sholazar. Maybe I'll go to Sholazar.
Yeah, that's where you need to go.
And grind out Oracle Rep. That's Oracle's one of them, right? Oracle and
yes.
Frenzy Heart?
Wolvar.
Yep.
Yeah. Friends Yard, yeah.
Well, the Oracle rep is obviously the superior one.
Of course.
Oh, I guess Grizzly Hills. Yeah, yeah.
Not too bad.
Yeah, Grizzly Hills isn't bad. I always forget about Grizzly Hills, which blows my mind because, like, I love the music in Grizzly Hills. That's my jam.
It's some of the best music in the game, by far.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I'll do.
I actually don't listen to the music in the game.
What? Some of the music is amazing. Some of it is not so amazing.
I just find it boring.
It's fair. Then again, I'm like the guy who, like, on top of that music in game, I'm also listening to just straight up bagpipes. So my taste in music's a little weird. Anyway, I feel like
I would definitely agree with that statement. Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've heard the music you listen to. It is very varied.
What are you talking about? My music is not varied. It's just, you know, Hamilton, bagpipes. Cannibal Corpse.
Yeah. That's pretty much what I'm talking about. Yeah, right there.
That's all, like, along the same lines, isn't it? Throwing some Vanessa Carlton and...
I'd like to know what Cannibal Corpse and Hamilton have to get, have... And bagpipes. What exactly do they have in common?
Drums.
Allie, how's your weekend?
I don't know how I'm going to follow that up. My weekend WoW was actually really good. I did a lot of things. I did the time walking, just like Toasty. Unlike Toasty, I am still enjoying my paladin. I got her up to 78. So, unfortunately, I'm almost out of Northrend, which makes me sad. I could level all in Northrend, like 1 to 100, and be perfectly happy. But that's okay. Moving on. I did the Cooking Impossible Brawl, which was really cool. And we won, which is always nice. I also got my tune up to 381 because we did the new raid. And we killed 4 of the bosses, which included Opulence. And we almost didn't get Opulence down because it's a pretty tricky fight. But we got it, which was awesome. I really like the new raid. It's a lot of fun. I like some of the art to it and the ambiance and everything. It's tricky in that it's really mechanic heavy. I don't mind it because there are some unique mechanics, but unfortunately I have some guildies who struggle with mechanics, so it's a little rough in that regard, but it's just challenging enough, and so far I'm really liking it. And what else did I do? I did war mode stuff, which was awesome. I haven't done war mode since I had it on to level, and then once I got the level cap, I turned it off.
Were you trying to do the Against the Odds quest?
Yeah, and I did it. And at first I was like, I'm not going to do it. Then I saw the level 400 item level thing, and you know, I need that very much so, because I need to outheal people who can't do mechanics. So
what is this Against the Odds thing? Like, what? So I heard there's some 400 gear mentioned, and I have no idea about
it. It's a PvP world... It's a PvP weekly quest, I think?
Yes, and you had to killed 25 hordes somewhere in the world. So not in battlegrounds, but somewhere out in the open world.
Yeah,
that's the quest that I completely ignore every time I go to my boat. Gotcha.
Right. Yeah, what some people did was they formed up like a big group and just camped out. I think it was at the Zuldazar docks.
I heard about that, but when I, on my server at least, there was some hordes out there, but no alliance. So, but in order to get the quest done, like, you can only have 5 in your group, unless you've, you know, had multiple groups of 5 going.
Yeah.
But it was, like, at first I tried doing it on my own, which was kind of lame, but I actually found a group of 5 people, well, me and 4 people, and they were actually really nice, and we had a really good time, and we actually did it out in Drusvar, instead of out at the docks, because...
Oh, yeah, there's a Drusvar specific quest, too. Because
there was a Drusvar quest, too, so a lot of people were doing them simultaneously. And I actually had a blast. I used to be really active in PvP back in Burning Crusade, Wrath, especially when I was on my Rogue. but I haven't. I'll dabble a little bit here and there, especially if it's Battleground week, but not super active in it. But I had so much fun doing this war mode thing. Like, it made me want to do more, which really surprised me. So that was pretty awesome. And I walked away from that experience, like, really happy with it and really happy and proud of Blizzard for what they've been doing with war mode. I know they're still trying to balance it out between the number of Alliance people and the number of Horde people and doing what they can for that. But just that experience in general was pretty awesome. So well done,
yeah,
Blizz.
If people are approaching that, I hesitate to use the word correctly, but if they, like, the way I read about some people approaching that quest is they were just all getting into multiple groups of five, crashing the Zul'Dazar docks and just tagging everything to rack up those 25 kills, like, right quick.
Yeah.
They park near a flight point or whatever. And, well, yeah, that's gonna get you your quest done quick. I mean, it's not... I hesitate to call that fun. I was trying to find other groups that were doing that. And again, I don't want to say proper, but, like...
There's different ways to approach it. There's a way to, you know, get your kills and move on, or just try to overwhelm the other team and move on, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And there were moments where we would be, say, in an area that has a Champions of Azeroth world quest, and for some reason, like, three different groups of Alliance just, like, mobbed that area looking for Hordies. Obviously, the Hordies aren't going to go there, and it's kind of no fun at that point.
Right.
So, you know, we went to, like, the coast and some different areas down there. And you're still going to go out and do this and find the toxic people, because it's an MMO. They're going to be out there. But I was fortunate enough to find the cool people who were chill and just having a good time. And a lot of us, like, stuck around to, like, help the other get their 25, even if we were done. Like, it was a really good experience. I walked away from that honestly wanting to do more.
And I wish. Like, I got into a couple groups over the weekend, and they'd be all over the place in terms of the world, and I'd be flying there. And in the time it took me to get there, like, they'd finish up the quest and drop group, and then all of a sudden I'm by myself. That's not great.
Yeah.
See, I will never do war mode stuff. I really wish the quest would not even show up for me unless you're in war mode. Because then I wouldn't see that quest and it wouldn't annoy me.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way about, like, the pet battle quests that I'm never going to do. That would be a little annoying. Like, oh, look at that, I can get a 400 item level. Oh, wait, no, I got a PvP and I don't want a PvP. Well,
yeah, I wish I could just drop the account-wide pet battle quest that I can never drop for some stupid reason. That's what I wish.
But it doesn't count towards your quest cap.
I don't care. It's still there, and it annoys me.
Yeah, it does too. I'll be in Stormwind, like, oh, there's a quest here? Why haven't I turned this? Oh, right. Yep, it's by that stupid tree. Well, rip.
So, one last thing, and I want to ask you guys about this. I was questing out in Drustvar. I was doing a Champions of Azeroth quest, a world quest.
And I'm so sorry to hear that.
Why? Drustvar is the best zone.
Drustvar is awesome, and I like doing world quests.
Thank you, Allie, because Drustvar is the best zone.
Anyways, so you know when you get the random whispers or old god whispers, they're in that purple text, right?
Yeah.
So I was questing out there, you know, this world quest, and I got a whisper that says the cracks widen. And it was in that purple Olgadi whisper text.
Huh.
I, for the life of me, I can't remember ever seeing that. Like, do you guys ever remember seeing a whisper that says the cracks widen in Drustvar?
No, I don't.
Like, chat, like, do you remember? Zeph saying she remembers or she's seen it. Was that recent?
I don't recall ever seeing it like that.
Was that recent, Zeph? Like, I don't know if it has happened before and I've just missed it, or if this is, like, a new thing because maybe in the background something's happening and we just don't know.
That's interesting.
Well, I was also on my Shadow Priest stuff.
I wonder if it's a priest specific thing.
Maybe. I mean, I don't. I wasn't using my weapon transmog, and I mean, normally a holy priest, but when I'm questing, I'm Shadow Priest, and so. What did you see it recently though, Zeph? I don't know. Like it was, I've never noticed it before. So maybe I just haven't. I've missed it, and maybe it's not a new thing. But I don't.
Here's what I'll do.
Super random.
I've got a 110 priest. I will change to Shadow, and then learn how to play Shadow, and quest through Justvar.
There are people who can teach you. Well, Zeph's saying she's seen it a few times randomly, so maybe I've just missed it. It just seems like it was just really random.
I mean, that's a very real possibility. I mean, how many times have any of us missed something that showed up in the text box?
Right.
Like, oh, look, my guildie said hi to me and asked me a question. I'm going to respond. Oh, wait, that was 45 minutes ago, and they're no longer online.
Well, being guild leader and being someone who like loves the story, I try to capture all the texts, but I know I miss it, especially if guild's really active. I'm gonna miss some random text sometimes. So
yeah,
maybe it's happened and I just missed it. I don't know.
I would say that I could take my Shadow Priest to Justvar, but
no, you can't.
Justvar.
what do you have against Justvar?
I don't like it. It's weird.
That's what makes it great.
I guess I just into a different kind of weird.
Well then, Medros, if you don't like Justvar, how was your week, and how was your week in WoW?
Not spent very much time in Justvar.
Apparently.
My week in WoW was not too bad. I did a bit of leveling and did lots of gearing or attempting to gear. Clearly not enough time spent gearing this week, because my mains eye level is only 377, my DHs is only 379, so yes, Toasty, congratulations, you once again beat me this week. Are you happy?
Yes.
I'll take that as a yes. It was a good week, though. I did enjoy going around and getting some new gear. My druid got a lot of new gear this week because everything was like bumped up because of the new content. So stuff that used to be a 340 was now 355. So it was 355, now 365. And so my druid got significant increases in a lot of his gear. My gear for the 400 piece out of Darkshore was not great on any of my tunes. Well, okay, it was great because it's a 400 piece, but for most of them it was not as much of an upgrade as I would have liked. I did get a new staff on my druid, which was really nice, and I got one character got a ring upgrade this week, but most of them didn't get much. The four characters that did go through the Tortolan Emissary this week that were awarded the, it could be either trinket or ring cash thing, three of them got the trinket, and it was an upgrade for all of them. One of them got a ring, but it was the one character that had higher end rings, so it was a 360 to 385 upgrade instead of a 340 to 385 upgrade. I've also found that through, like, I run item equip, which basically lists out what you have, what their eye levels are, in a much easier to read way. However, the frustrating part of it is that it gives me what it feels my item level should be, and it is almost always on one character of mine not matching what my actual item level is. Like, one time I noticed it said I should have a 344 eye level, but instead I had a 332 eye level. I'm wondering if it was seeing stuff in my bags, but there's nothing in my bags that was that high, so I'm not sure what was leading to that. But it was very frustrating because I was like, oh, I should have this eye level, but I don't. So I kind of just ignore it on that one now and try to not get frustrated by that because it's not nice. Otherwise, I did some profession stuff. My two leather workers are now up to 140 of 150. I got my cooking raised a bit. I went and did some fishing because I guess they want us to fish a lot in this expansion since everything requires fish-related crap.
It's just fish oil.
Just poor fish.
Really?
Yeah. One of the primary recipes for leveling up early culture and cooking is requiring greater catfish.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. And I think I looked down and got a whole bunch of random meat and cooked that.
I actually can make meat on my druid through transfiguration. Or something, transmutation, I guess. Yeah, sorry.
And Transfiguration's a Harry Potter class?
I know.
Taught by Professor McGonagall?
Yes, I'm aware. Thank you. So I did go do a bunch of fishing, which is not horrible, but I did find that a lot of the catfish I was trying to catch did not come out of regular water. I had to find the fishing pools, and that's just a pain. It was not bad though, and after a couple hours, I had lots of stuff from killing random creatures that would attack me, and had a fair bit of fish, so I made some food for my characters, and got my cooking up to 40 or 50, so that wasn't too bad. Can't really complain about that. Beyond that, made about 200,000 gold this week. That was nice. I've got some pets I can sell. I'm still waiting for those to be worth putting up in the auction house. And then with the upgrades in my leather working, I did find that I could make new bows, which I have no idea why bows are under the leather working skill. Just don't get that at all.
Well, I mean, what else would they be under though, realistically?
True. That is true. There is not really a natural place for them, so I'm still waiting to see if I can find a crafted staff. That's what I'd love to find. That'd be good. Because I feel like that's one weapon that I can't seem to figure out where I can make one of those. But we'll talk more about that later in the Q&A stuff, because that gets brought up a fair bit. Other than that, it's just been playing a little bit here and there, trying to do invasions. I missed, I think, 5 or 6 invasions this week. Because of timing and stuff, I had some stuff going on Saturday, so I missed 2 that day. And then, middle of the week, I think I missed a couple as well, just because of bad start times and being busy first in the morning. But otherwise, just playing the game. And I haven't done any leveling of characters this week, but I have at least logged into some of them so that I can actually try and do some fresh stuff on them. And hoping that if I have time tonight before the end of the current invasion that's up, I will go and do that on a couple of extra characters so that my Alliance Monk and my second Paladin can eventually get leveled up and actually like be level 20, because that'd be really awesome. We'll see if that actually happens, though.
I just circled back to you casually mentioning, oh, I made about 200,000 gold.
Yeah, what's wrong?
Wish I could just casually make 200,000 gold. I'm pretty sure.
How many alts do you have?
One.
And what level is that alt?
110.
And how often do you take it out to kill trash?
Let's see. I think I just brought it to Kaltiris.
Okay. So not very often. What is your crafting looking like?
Well, I'm an engineer, so not a lot.
Sorry. Yeah.
Hey, but it's the best profession.
It may be. It is not the best financially, unfortunately. So, yeah, that's why I made 200 this week and you didn't. I'm just telling the truth, man. I'm just telling the truth. Don't shoot the messenger.
Okay. Can I do profession stuff from a phone?
No. Not yet.
Lame.
And probably never.
Probably not.
It's okay, I'll just do mission tables from my phone. That'll give me like 50 gold, right?
There's ones like 100, that are a little higher. 150.
Oh, 100.
If you do 200% or get the bonus, you can sometimes raise it up to 300, maybe 400.
Oh,
it's absolutely not as profitable as it was back the last two expansions.
Well, kind of wish I did it more in freaking Warlords.
That would have been smart.
Yeah, but I hated it so much then. It was just... there was so much.
I understand.
Like, especially, like, in Warlords, I was playing multiple tunes. So, managing the mine, the herb garden, all the other dailies at the time, and mission tables, and raiding. That was a lot.
Yeah. I totally get you. It was not an easy expansion.
Not if you're trying to manage alts anyway.
Yeah. In fairness, I found the herb garden was easier to manage than the mine. But yeah, it was not an easy expansion for alts. Though it was also very beneficial to alts because you got XP missions from your table where you don't get those this expansion.
Yeah. I think I leveled one tune in Warlords exclusively through the mission table. It was great. Oh well, those days are gone.
Yeah. But yeah, it was a pretty overall uneventful week. Uneventful in any way different from anybody else. Like, everybody, I'm sure, on the line side was very happy to get their 400 piece of gear from Darkshore. Everybody was happy to see better gear from Emissaries and from Invasions. So that was better, but not different enough, I guess, to my perspective. The Doomhowl... I think it's Doomhowl. The tank out in Arathi was not very useful. And I'm actually wondering, going forward, whether it's even worth using bonus rolls for either the BFA world bosses, either in the actual world or in Arathi, because I feel like they're only giving like 340, 350 pieces, and other than newly leveled up to 120 tunes, I don't know that I have a lot of characters that are going to get a lot of use out of those pieces. What do you guys think?
Sorry, I was hacking up a lung.
Don't.
I hope you found it and put it back in place.
I missed the last part as a result of the hacking.
I'm just curious what you guys think of the usefulness of expending the bonus roll tokens on BFA general world bosses, the ones that are dropping 340 pieces, and the Arathi Highlands world boss that is dropping 355 pieces.
Oh, no, I'm just using it on Darkshore.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just feel like 2,000 gold spent on a token or 250 resources is a lot to spend on something that's only going to get me basically scrap materials.
Exactly. Like, unless it's, like you were saying, like, unless it's an alt, it's just... We're moving on in the expansion, so not as worth it.
Okay. I definitely think my druid will still use theirs for a little while until they get up to a bit higher pieces and have less that could be replaced by that. But it definitely kind of threw me a little bit when I was considering that I have a lot of tokens that are not going to good use. And there are a lot of gold. There are a lot of resources to get those things. So,
well, you know, if you did some like LFR... or some dungeons.
Sorry, you're mumbling. I can't quite hear you.
LFR?
What's wrong with you guys? Are you guys out on drugs or something? I can't understand you guys.
So Lima, anyway. Foxtrot, Romeo.
Lima beans? Boxes? Rome? I don't want to go to Rome, sorry.
First of all, why not? Anyway.
All right, well, let's move on to what's coming up this weekend. WoW.
Or our first sponsor?
Sure, let's do that first then. Our newest sponsor is Funko. If you haven't heard of them by name, you can definitely see their products. They make collectible vinyl figures from a bunch of Blizzard universes, from Warcraft, Overwatch, Heroes of Diablo, and even more from outside the Blizzardverse, like Firefly, Star Wars, and Doctor Who. I like to highlight a Funko Pop each week, and this week's Funko is... Well, I think a lot of people probably saw this one coming, because it's kind of a... It's kind of an expected one, because there's a new movie coming out soon. It's Nick Fury with hair and eyes. Both eyes. Two eyes. No patches. I think it looks good. I'm sure that Samuel L. Jackson's very happy not to have to wear an eye patch for this movie.
Well, for most of it, anyway. I'm going to go ahead and assume that he's going to lose that eye at some point during the movie.
I think you may be right, yeah.
Yeah, that would actually work out.
Yeah, I could see that. So, it's Nick Fury from the Captain Marvel movie. And so this month we're going to be doing a little bit of a lead-up. We'll be doing some highlight of some Funkos from that line of Funko Pops. I haven't seen any Chase ones other than one from Hot Topic. And I will do that one a little bit down the road. But there's some really cool ones, so definitely want to highlight those a little bit. We already did the Goose the Cat one in a recent episode. So, Nick Fury is what we're going to do this week. It is his, I guess, young agent of maybe S.H.I.E.L.D. if it was still around. It was already around back then. I'm not sure the timeline because we haven't seen the movie yet. But it's a pretty cool Funko series, and I wanted to highlight this one.
The movie takes place in the 80s.
I am aware of that. And actually, it was the 90s, but okay.
Oh, 90s, sorry. And S.H.I.E.L.D. was formed in the 40s. During the Second World War.
Okay. Anyways, moving along. If you want to check out this Funko and many others, go to bit.ly/FunkoATA. And if you check out their online shop, use Shop 10 to save 10% off your entire purchase. That's bit.ly/FunkoATA. And use Shop 10 to save 10%. We want to thank Funko for their support of the show. Now, what's going on this week?
Well, first up, starting actually today at the time of this recording, the 28th through February 11th is the Lunar Festival, and there's actually some new things, which is great. We have new toys for new dragon bodies, the tail, the body, and the head. So we have a green dragon and a blue dragon now, which is really cool, plus a new Hearthstone. There seems to be a little bit of a growing trend with holiday Hearthstones. This one's really cool because you take like one knee and then you like raise your arms in the air and then slowly there's this huge blue firework that goes off. It's really cool looking. I'm going to get it. Super excited. And also for this one, just in case people were wondering, if you want to go see the Elders in Undercity or Blasted Lands or Silithus or Tal'Drassil, because all those places have been blown up and changed and burned down and horrible fell and everything, go talk to Zadormi and you can go back to the original versions and get those elders. And they still have the, you know, Alliance and Horde fireworks and the lanterns you can get and the flowery helm piece transmog thing. So some really cool stuff for that one. So check it out. Starting this week, we also have the Battle of Dazar'alor Elf Wing 1 and Mythic raid out. We also have the 29th through the 4th, the Battleground bonus event, which I actually might take part of because I have this PvP itch now, and the Kirin Tor Tavern Crawl from, well, January 31st. If you haven't done that at least once, go do it. It's a good time.
So basically, shine some lights, battle some bosses, do some PvP, and go get drunk.
That sounds like a good time to me.
All right, let's do this.
Yes!
thought you guys would enjoy that. All right, let's talk about some news, shall we?
Yes, we shall.
All right, so the first thing I want to talk about is a couple of interviews / Q&A things that happened with Ian Hazzacostas. The first one that we're going to talk about is one with Vanyan, and it was a really good one. I found there's a lot of really interesting information in this. One thing that I think they want to be very clear on this is that the team does want to make everybody happy. They want people to enjoy the game. They don't want people to be unhappy with the game as has been developed and how it's designed. However, one of the challenges with WoW is that there are a lot of different players and a lot of different goals and play styles, and it's very hard to make everything mesh well. So they do want to make sure people understand that it isn't that they don't understand players' concerns or what they'd like the game to be, but they also have to keep in mind that there are other players with other playstyles that might have desires that are counter to what the player that they're talking about in this moment wants. So they do understand and they do agree that players have a right to focus on their own experience. However, it is a very hard thing to balance what player A wants from player B, from player C, from players D, and so on. They do say, though, that they want people to be very patient. There is a lot of content yet to come. The majority of Battle for Azeroth's patch content is still not released. So there's still a lot more coming. There's still more down the road. And they will continue working to make things as good as they can for as many people as possible. They did say that they learned a lot about providing catch-up mechanics in Burning Crusade. A lot of players back then were very frustrated because they felt they had to run old content and stuff that they were well past in order to get people attuned to stuff, to get people geared for stuff. And when you're trying to recruit players and then have to spend weeks trying to get them to the point where they are geared properly to the content you're actually trying to run, that is very much not a good way of gaming and a very uninspiring and boring, essentially, way of gaming. So they do understand that people have frustrations around that and they do want to improve it. That's why they have mechanics like improving gear from world quests, the option for purchasing gear like Titan Residuum and stuff like that. So they're always trying to find a way to make it better for the players as things go on, so that a new player coming in today, hitting 120 today, isn't feeling like they have a mountain to climb. So, they did say also that the team can probably do more towards having more guaranteed progression with the currencies for raid and content and dungeon content. Though, in the Q&A, they also did address this a little bit as well. And they did say that the Valor Point system to upgrade gear makes the transition between raid tiers awkward, as it makes you have less chance for upgrades in the next raid. So they want to avoid that system being re-implemented. Though they do want to try and find some way to make gearing a little bit easier. They also did say that Valor Point gear upgrade systems could be something they look at for a last raid tier of an expansion, but probably not earlier in the expansion, to avoid the issue of hitting a tier and simply already at the beginning of the tier being too geared for the eventual result. They did say that the Crucible of Storms serves as a bridge between Battle of Dar-Zalor and Rise of Ashara. It's only a 2-boss raid, so it may be slightly higher level item gear than Battle for Dar-Zalor, but not significantly higher, like we saw between Aldir and the current raid. They also said that the team was happy with how the Mage Tower worked out and would love to do it again in the future, but they don't want to make it part of an expansion formula. It needs to fit the story and the world in order to actually feel like it has a place rather than something that they just place in every expansion, like flying and other features that we now expect of an expansion. They said that war fronts are on live are currently around the Raid Finder difficulty, and that heroic war fronts will be closer to a normal experience tuned for a group that is coordinating together. It won't be a challenge for a mythic raid group, though there are no new war fronts planned for Rise of Ashara. Moving on to the Q&A, which was a little more controlled for Blizzard. They did say that the Culturan and Zandalar will be available for 8.15 and only require the war campaign to be finished to unlock. There will not be any raid requirements or dungeon requirements. So that's very good for some people and others who are still looking to get finished up with stuff because time and such. They said that the reason they are not yet available is because story-wise they want the events to play out so that it solidifies them joining the larger fight, and they didn't really fit in the story before this. They had considered before this. They had considered having in the Zandalar at launch with the Dark Iron Dwarves, but replaced that with the Maghar Orcs so that it would make more sense to the flow of the story to pair them with Culturans instead of just having those two races being in separate waves of release, which I think fit better. I feel releasing Dark Irons and Maghar Orcs is much more fitting as they're not central to the current story, but they do have some place there.
Yeah, there's a history with those two races with each respective faction, so that makes sense.
Yeah. There's something I saw on Twitter, and I think it was discussed fairly significantly in our Discord as well. They may at some point allow the cap of 50 characters to all be on the same server. Now, I saw somebody mention this was going to happen in 815, or they're looking for 815. I'm not sure. The summary I saw did not say that specifically, though it did say that there might be a way for you to transfer war resources from your main to your alts in 815, though if that is anything like we have seen in the past expansions, it would likely be it'll cost you 5,000 resources to transfer 1,000 to an alt, which is really not a good transfer ratio to me. They did also say that the tier sets and class-themed armor could return in the future, but they want to stick to the gearing and items that they have here for the idea of giving people a broader range of gear to choose from for Transmogs and getting the look they want. Addressing Heart of Azeroth in 8.2 and beyond, the team wants to move away from unlocking the same traits over the course of the expansion. So every time you get new gear, you're assigning the same traits over and over, and they want to avoid that tedium. The traits of Azeroth armor will all be unlocked when you obtain a piece of gear. So it would basically be you choose what your traits are going to be, and then when you get the gear, it's just automatically applied. The artifact power will instead give you abilities on your Heart of Azeroth, many of which are active abilities. And these abilities could be earned and distinct based on the content that you earn it from, such as Raids or Mythic Plus, which of course means I'm not going to get any of it. They did say also during this Q&A that Titan Residuum funneling, which is the reason why they did the recent hotfix to basically prevent people from getting Titan Residuum from gear that was not meant for them or that they could not use. This has only been done by the most extreme guilds. I don't know that they're planning to punish those guilds, but they've done a hotfix to ensure that you can only get that currency from gear that is valid for your class. So you can't go into a raid, get gear that is meant for another class because nobody in the raid needs it, and then be basically powering up what you can get. So
yeah, just gotta do a mass faction transfer instead. Then you can get gear that way.
We'll talk about that later. The biggest challenge of WoW, they said, is designing for the many different audiences to play the game. And that's kind of going back to the whole, yes, we want you to enjoy your game, but we want everybody else to enjoy the game too. We are three very different players. If I said, well, I don't care about raids, just get rid of them, I'm sure at least one of the people on the show would probably be very unhappy with that decision.
Yes.
Yes.
If I said I don't like warriors, I think they're boring and they take away roles from paladins, get rid of them, I know somebody here would be very unhappy with me.
Yes.
So, therefore, Blizzard can't listen to only just me. And that is both the downside, but also the broad base of players is something that makes the game richer and deeper for having such a variety of audiences. And they do make sure that they have a variety of developers working on designing for each one of those groups. So, yes, you may feel like your raid side is not getting as much love, but there is people that are working on that side. There's also people working on the PvP side and the casual side, and working on the dungeon side versus the mythic side, and the warfront side versus the island expedition side. Like, there are people in the team who are working towards all of those. So it's not just, oh, we can only work on this one thing at this moment, and every other person who plays something else in the game is basically SOL. What do you guys think of this Q&A? Did you guys get a lot of good information from the Q&A and the interview?
Oh, I have many thoughts. Oh boy, do I have many thoughts.
Really? I never would have guessed.
First of all, I want to talk about the tier gear thing that they were talking about. Like, when they said they were stepping away from tier gear and tier sets, I assumed that when they said they were going to give us sets themed appropriately to the raid, like, we'd still get multiple choices there. That has not been the case, and I know this is going to sound weird coming from me, but, like, looking at the Battle for D'Zara Lore plate gear, like, it's very bony. Like, you're wearing a bunch of bone, and the mythic set lets you wear a dinosaur skull on your shoulder, which looks great for maybe a warrior or a death knight, but that armor does not seem appropriate for a paladin. And, like, that's the only option you have, really, for plate gear from that set, from that raid. So, where's the choice there? There is, spoiler, there's none. Outside of a few different color swaps. And also, like, if you want the truly badass looking set of gear, well, you gotta go to Mythic. And yeah, I get it. Mythic is the upper echelon of raiding, and they want something cool to show off for, you know, completing that content. I'm not begrudging them for that, but I would still like some, like, good-looking gear coming out of normal and heroic or LFR, because, like, the plate gear for Battle for D'Zara Lore, like, outside of Mythic, looks... it doesn't, like, I like it, it just doesn't... it doesn't carry the same, like, wow factor, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. I mean, it still looks good, but, like, it's not like, whoa, that's really cool kind of thing. Like, with previous raids and previous expansions, you'd get gear that's sort of upgraded in looks and all that as you moved up in the difficulties. And that's just not the case right now. Like, between LFR, I assume, anyway. I haven't looked at the LFR rewards, but seeing the three different colors of the plate gear, I assume that it's each color, like, a color for a difficulty. But I might be wrong. I might be completely off base there.
I believe that's right.
Yeah, so, like... like, in Legion, LFR gear looks slightly different to normal. And I think between normal and heroic, it was just a color... I'm not even sure if it was a color swap, to be honest, but it was still distinct from LFR gear. And Mythic had a different color and usually, like, looked more badass. So, I mean... I,
I get, as a paladin, I don't want spikes on my armor.
Yeah, I get that the idea of the tier set with tier bonuses is something they wanted to step away from. But, like, maybe multiple models of plate would be nice. Just throwing that out there. What else? Yeah. So, I mean, that's my thought on the gear stuff. The no new Warfront thing for Rise of Ishara also bothered me a little bit. Because, like, Warfronts is one of those things that's been advertised heavily as part of this expansion. We've gone through one patch, we had the Battle for Stromguard. Now we're going through this patch where we got the Battle for Darkshore. Now keep in mind, when we transitioned from Battle for Stromguard to Battle for Darkshore, we got upgraded gear as well. Both in item level and, you know, it was thematically different. And now not only are we not getting a new Warfront, but if they follow the same thing as they did from Battle for Stromguard to Battle for Darkshore, when we move up in content, like, one of two things is going to happen. Either the Battle for Darkshore gear is going to get upgraded to, like, match the item level rewards that we're going to be getting with the new content, or it's not going to be upgraded, like, similar to Battle for Stromguard, and the drive to do that content is going to be lessened. They briefly mentioned that there was a Baron's Warfront, and that was, like, something that was found pretty early on, but apparently it was just nearly a prototype, but isn't currently planned. Like, why? I think not doing a Warfront, considering what they've done with Warfronts so far in this expansion, it's not a great feeling. Plus, I really liked all that themed gear. I was looking forward to seeing different racial themes for each of the Warfronts. I mean, we got the very obvious Horde and Alliance themed sets out of Battle for Stromguard. We got this heavy Night Elf and heavy Forsaken influence in Battle for Darkshore. Like, seeing what they could have come up with for these, for a third one, would have been really cool. Like, you know, dwarf themed sets or tauren themed sets, or hey, gnome themed sets. Gnomes are going to be, like, playing a pretty big role coming up soon. Like, maybe throwing them a Warfront and, like, also making them, like, putting them in the center stage for a little bit longer outside of what's that dungeon called? Mechagon?
Yep.
Yeah, that would have been cool. And now we're not going to get that.
I must have overlooked that content.
What's that?
I must have overlooked that content.
Yeah, we got Mechagon coming in 8-2. Oh, I get it.
There you go. It's because Frasley's not in the channel. You missed it.
Yeah.
It's easy to miss. It's kind of small. Not much to look at.
I mean, and, like, the PvP vendor thing. Oh, man.
Okay, so tell us about this, because, again, I did not listen to them. I went through the summaries, and there was no mention
of this
whole PvP vendor thing you're talking
about. Yeah, honestly, I didn't watch the thing either. I'm reacting based on what I've seen all throughout Twitter and Reddit, where I think basically one of the responses to, like, the no PvP vendor was just like, don't know, they're not going to know where to find it. Well, like, A, locating vendors is historically a problem in WoW. Because, you know, they're all over the place or whatever. But hey, the plus side to that is we've got all these fantastic fan sites and stuff like that that will help guide us there. In fact, These fan sites are alluded to in the hints and tips for the loading screens. So, like, that in general, like, the not being able to find the vendor is not a great excuse. Some of the other things they mentioned there, absolutely, like, I get that argument. Not being able to find the vendor is a poor argument. Like, they made arguments about, hold on, I lost my place. I had it marked. It's because I'm on the wrong page. Toasty, come on. Get it together. The argument about there's not a raid vendor where we can just buy a piece that we want. Okay, yeah, I get that argument. We're dependent on random drops if we're progressing solely through raids. And yeah, okay. So if you want to draw that comparison, yeah, I get that. That's fine. But if you're trying to make the reward systems feel balanced across the board, like, maybe don't schedule the PvP rewards, because that's not balanced. I can't log in on a raid night and, like, okay, well, this night I'm guaranteed to get a ring upgrade. Well, no, can't do that. But we talked about that system last week, right? Where like, depending on the week, you can get a certain PvP reward. That's that philosophy coupled with this philosophy of trying to make the reward system feel balanced, they don't line up. And yeah. It feels like sometimes there's a difference between what they're saying and what they want to do. What's actually being implemented occasionally. Like, I don't know. Like, I like to think that when I read through the Q&A summaries and all that other stuff, I like to think that generally I walk out of it with a pretty positive attitude. Like, okay, well, I like this, I like this, this was good. But that thing, like, and I don't even PvP really. Like, I'll do like bonus events every now and then, or the brawls, and I have fun with that. But like, that whole thing kind of left a sour taste in my mouth as someone, even as someone who doesn't PvP, because, like, yeah, I mean, When I saw people reacting to that, they very much latched onto that one point that was brought up during the Q&A, and I definitely didn't see the other points that were also made. So, I mean, you can say all the positive stuff you want to, like, unfortunately, people are going to latch onto the negative stuff too. Yeah.
Unfortunately, that is human nature.
Yep. What else did I have? I have a lot of stuff that rubbed me the wrong way, and I can't remember what it is now. So I'll leave it with transmog, war fronts, and that PvP vendor thing.
All right. And any thoughts from Yali?
Just two little quick ones. I don't envy Blizzard in their quest to try to please all the different player types. I mean, they even said that it's a challenge, and it really is. You know, there's always going to be someone with whatever type of game they play, whether they like to raid or they like to dungeon or they like to PvP. Like, it's hard to make everyone happy. So I don't envy them at all. And kind of going to the war mode / 400 item level items that were available, even that alone, at least in my own mind, is a great example, because on one hand, I really liked having a couple chances to get level 400 gear so I can get ready for the new raid. I thought that was great. On the other hand, that is the equivalent of level 400 gear that drops in heroic. So because of that, like, I'm getting a couple less, well, I have the potential to get a couple less ups in the raid, because that just happened right before the raid came out. So I already have a couple 400 slots now that I'm not going to do, I'm not going to be replacing in normal. So even that alone, like, I see both sides of that coin, and I don't envy them in having to balance that all out. Because it's nice to gear up, but that was so close to the new raid tier that that was a little, like they said, it's a little bit high. So I think it's smart that they're going to be decreasing that to 385 next time. I think it shows that's an example of them learning and making note of things. And good on Blizzard for that, because that was definitely, that's a hard call to make.
Yeah, especially because, considering how angry people are going to be that now they don't have a chance at a 400 piece of gear.
Yeah, it's true, but it matters, and it's definitely a big deal. But their initial reasoning behind it to, like, help, you know, boost people's item levels and get the gear they want for the new raid, you know, that helps too. So it's just, it's tricky to find that balance. And I don't envy them to try to find that balance. I wouldn't be able to. Mm. I don't have their job. I don't want their job. I want to just enjoy their game, which I do constantly. So that's really the main point for me.
I just want to mention one more thing. Zeph summed up my problem with the gear the gear models as they are right now. Not all of them fit Class Fantasy, which was, like, a huge thing that they were trying to push in Legion. And I think they succeeded in Legion. The Class Fantasy for the gear was great. It fit appropriately. And from what I'm seeing with the plate gear anyway, because let's face it, that's all I care about. It works for two of the three plate classes. Give me more variety, please. Please. I mean, we're battling in the Zalalor in Zul, like where all the Zandalari are. You couldn't give the Paladin some flashy gold armor? I mean, the place is full of it. Just do it. Do it. Maybe not now, because it's a little too late, but, you know, in the future. And that's all I have to say about that. Because that's all I can think of.
Okay, then. Well, let's move on to our next topic, then, shall we?
Micro-holiday stuff! Woo! I really like micro-holidays. This is pretty cool. So, in 8.15... PTR right now, they're testing Wanderer's Festival and Free T-Shirt Day. Now, we have a decent amount of info for Free T-Shirt Day. What it's going to be is that there's going to be an NPC on your map in the Valley of Honor in Orgrimmar, or the Dwarven District in Stormwind, depending on your faction. And they're going to walk around with this really cool looking T-shirt gun. And it's just periodically just launch T-shirts out, which is just really cool. And I'm super excited. The T-shirts appear on the ground, and you can click on them to loot them, basically. And what it does is, if you were already wearing a shirt, even if it means you have to just go buy a random shirt from a vendor or something, you get a item called Free T-Shirt that will actually visually remove the upper portions of your armor to expose the shirt you're wearing underneath, which also sounds really dirty all of a sudden. And you could, like I said, you can only use that if you are wearing a shirt already in that slot. But it's just one of those fun little random lighthearted things that Blizzard's been putting into the game, which I really enjoy. So that'll be really cool. As for Wanderer's Festival, we don't have a lot of information on that yet. Now, some of you might remember back in Pandaria, there was a Wanderer's Festival event. I want to say it happened every Sunday night, I think. But it was at Trill Beach in Carcering Wilds. And there was an opening ceremony where there was have those festival lanterns in the water. And there'd be, you know, NPCs announcing things and people celebrating and campfires and Lorewalker Cho and Su Shun was there, you know, saying things, as was Lili and Chen Stormstout. And it was pretty cool. And there's fireworks, and there were special Wanderers Festival hatchlings, battle pets on the beach too. And then a closing ceremony, fireworks, and then everyone leaves. So I'm guessing it's going to be something related to this. Which, again, is just one of those fun little, cool, lighthearted things. So, again, not confirmed. That's just me assuming. But there's a good chance it's going to be something similar to that. And which is in line with how they're doing little micro-holiday things. So I think that'll be pretty cool. And I'm excited to see what it actually is when it comes out.
I remember when I went to that Wanderers Festival. It was really nice to hear Winnie the Pooh sing.
Plus, there's fireworks. I mean, you can't say no to anything with fireworks because fireworks are awesome. Let's be honest here.
Yeah, I think somebody on the show probably thinks the turtles were the biggest part of that event, but okay.
It's because they were.
The turtles are cool too, and I remember really liking the lanterns in the water. For some reason, that memory sticks out to me. So it'll be cool.
See, it's events are about different things for different people.
Exactly, because there's so many different types of players.
But never forget Winnie the Pooh singing.
Speaking of fun little random things, Toasty.
Yeah, it looks like now, this doesn't apply for any of us, but if you are a Chinese WoW player, between the 29th of January and the 1st of March, there's a mount that you can get as a reward for being subscribed for 6 months. So it is a flying pig. So pigs are going to fly in World of Warcraft. So any joke you've made previously about pigs flying, well, guess what?
Is not clearly now invalid.
Like, if you made a promise to do something when pigs fly, like, be prepared for somebody to call you out and try to cash in. Yeah.
So what I'm wondering with this one, because this happened last year, where Xu Zhen, the dog mount, which I have and love very much, if I remember right, and correct me if I'm wrong, was first announced as being available in China, and then a lot of people, you know, in the EU and the US and everything got upset because they wanted it too, and then like a few days later it was announced to be available over here too. So I'm wondering if that's what's going to happen with this.
I would imagine the same thing. Because, yeah, in the linked tweet on MMO Champion, Jiang Wing mentions back in 2018, that the Dog Mount Xu Zhen is officially confirmed as a free gift for 6 month subscription in the Chinese live service from February 12th to the 25th, because it was 2018, Year of the Dog.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got it.
This is the Year of the Pig.
Yeah, but it should be noted that the previous year was the Year of the Rooster, and the Chinese WoW players got a rooster mount, and we did not get that.
That's true. So I could be entirely wrong. Maybe this is going to show up on the shop, and maybe not.
It's a possibility. So, I mean, people love their doggos, so
I do love my doggo.
The lack of ability to get, you know, a flying doggo would have upset a lot of people. I'm not sure how upset people are going to be over not getting a flying pig.
It's kind of fun looking. I mean, I like it.
I want to get one. Just so whenever somebody tells me when pigs fly, I can mount up. That is literally the only reason. It's a really bad dad joke, essentially. But, like, that's worth the money for me.
So, Toasty, have you ever said that you'll tank when pigs fly?
Nope.
Because if you have, you're screwed.
Nope, I have not said that.
Okay. Just making sure. Just covering your back.
I'm pretty sure I just say I won't tank.
I'll quit the show when pigs fly.
Hey now, hey, whoa.
But the pigs are going to fly. in like tomorrow.
Watch yourself, man. Watch it.
Tomorrow, January 29th. If you're in China.
And you can't quit, so.
I actually think I'm the one who person who can choose what exactly happens, whether I quit or not, but okay.
Okay, fair.
Anyways, move along from that. How we do our second sponsor, shall we?
All right, so our second sponsor, as usual, are the great folks over at Audible. You can get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABooks2019. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2019. Now over 200,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. This week, we do not have a wild book because I ran out of wild books. So we're going to take a look at the Cinder Spire series written by Jim Butcher. Let's have a listen.
You fail, sir. Ran out of wild books.
There has been no discussion, Mother said, folding her arms. Discussion implies discourse. You have simply pretended I wasn't in the room when I broached the subject. Gwendolyn turned to smile sweetly. Mother, we can have this conversation again if you wish, but I have not altered my intentions in the least. I will not attend Lady Hadshaw's Finishing Academy. I would be more than pleased to see you enter the Etheric Engineering Academy along with... Oh, Gwendolyn said, rolling her eyes. I've been working with those systems in the testing shop since I could walk, and I'm quite sure I will go mad if I have to endure 2 years' worth of introductory courses. Mother shook her head. Gwendolyn, you cannot possibly think that... Enough, Gwendolyn said. I will enter the Spyrarch's Guard. I will take the oath. I will spend a year in the service. She turned to regard her reflection in the long mirror, adjusted her skirts marginally, and straightened the lapels of her short bolero jacket. Honestly, other daughters of the High Houses take the oath. I cannot imagine why you're making such a fuss. Other houses are not the Lancasters, Mother said, her voice suddenly cold.
So, once again, that was The Aeronauts Windless, the first book and only book of the Cinder Spire series. That was written by Jim Butcher and narrated by Ian Morton. You can find that and over 200,000 titles over at bit.ly/ATABooks2019. And we thank Audible for sponsoring the show. I also frantically Googled how to pronounce that narrator's name, because it's definitely not spelt like any way I know to spell Ian. It's E-U-A-N.
Like a pro, Googling it live. Well done.
Well, at first I'm like, it's gonna be like one, right? That's what it seems like it would, how it would be pronounced.
I wouldn't have known how to pronounce that. Definitely not giving you a hard time.
Yeah. So, like, frantic Googling. I know I have a minute and a half because that's how long the clip is.
Well done. I'm very proud of you.
Our question of the week this week was, what are your thoughts on the Shock Toys funding the MDI prize pool?
All right, Frasley said, I think given that it isn't the first esports player funding campaign by Blizzard, I'm excited to fund it with buying toys. I'm addicted to those WoW shinies. And Zephariah says, as long as it is clearly marked on the site, all the bells and whistles, then it should be fine. It has been done by other companies.
Joda says, I view the toy like a ticket to a sports game. I usually don't like the idea of buying mounts and stuff in a game I already paid for at release and continue to sub for. But the toy is fine, in my opinion, because you're not buying a toy, you're funding the esport you enjoy watching. HyrealMaster77 says, I'm actually pretty excited. I'm always looking for ways to support the community when I can, and I hope this will prove successful. Done right, this could even bring in new fans. But I also love to collect toys, mounts, pets, etc.
WookieBH says, I'd rather they do real toys. Let me buy action figures of last season's winners. As for the in-game items, it's cool with me, but I don't plan on getting them. And Just Some Damn Foo says, I like Talison and Evital's idea. Sell in-game tabards to show support for teams like sports jerseys. I'm down with that. I mean, Hots Esports, they did like the little disc mounts with the logos for whichever team won. Do that.
Ouch. Too soon.
I mean, I'm not doing that as a dig, but like, it's true. That's what happened.
Fair enough.
Anyway.
All right. So next week's question is, given the recent trend of holiday Hearthstones, what is your favorite or what are you looking forward to?
Beer Fest. Brew Fest. You know what I meant. Same thing.
Booze Week.
I'm currently... Right? Yeah, I mean, basically. I'm currently sporting the one from Hollow's End because I love the Horrorless Horseman's laugh because I'm crazy. I'm really excited about this Lunar Fireworks one because it's a blue firework. It's my favorite color and fireworks are awesome. So I'll probably switch over to that. But yeah, Brewfest, I'm definitely the most excited about that one.
What about you, Midras?
I will honestly say I don't know. I haven't really participated in any of the holidays significantly. So if I was to guess one, maybe Midsummer, maybe like... Have your character juggling fire torches, maybe?
Ooh, I do like fire. That's
See, cool. I did not expect that from you, Medros, because knowing what happens around your house during the holidays, I would have assumed the Wintervale one.
Please note the purveyor of that particular setup and the person who ensures that occurs every year. Is not the person doing the show.
Oh, I'm well aware of that. That was the joke.
Okay. Anyways. Time for shoutouts. Ellie, how about you?
My shoutout is to the War Mode Warriors, the people who are huge into War Mode. They do it all the time and they love it. I have a new fondness and respect for it after this week. So definitely shout out to you people.
I feel personally attacked here.
Why? Because there's War Mode Warriors and not War Mode Paladins?
No, because I don't use War Mode.
Well, that's fine. You don't have to. I didn't either. And that's why I'm saying I have a new respect for it because I gave it a shot and found out it was kind of awesome. So that's my shout out.
Toasty, how about you?
One of these weeks I'll be prepared for this.
See, I'm getting really good about this whole being prepared for it thing.
Yeah, it's been 3 years for me.
One day, Toasty. One day you'll be ready for it.
Shout out to Mark Scheifele, who enjoyed his first ever All-Star Game weekend. And oh yeah, and shout out to all those women hockey players who participated in the skills events this weekend. Because they ripped it up.
Yeah.
They tore it up. It was great.
Yeah, that was really cool for sure.
Like Coin and I forget the other one now.
I forget the name of her, because there was that one chick who filled in for Nathan MacKinnon for my team, so I should know her name. But she held her own in the speed skate.
Yeah, that was Kendall Coyne.
Yeah, okay.
And then, I think she had the second best time in the speed skating round. And she was only beat by Connor McDavid. Which, like, he's the three-peat winner as of this year. So, you know, I'll take that. Absolutely.
Cool.
What about you, Medros?
My shout out is going to be to a very special listener. Somebody who never ceases to have my back, never ceases to be there when I need some support, such as depriving somebody of loot or pointing out the paladins are better than warriors.
Oh, god damn it.
Thanks, Will. Really appreciate that. You're awesome.
Will, I love you, buddy. Screw you. And that's like the PG version of what I want to say. You know what I want to say.
Oh, I'm pretty sure he knows exactly the same thing right now. I think everybody does, really. But thanks, Will. I really appreciate it for including me in that thread earlier. This one's great. All right. So I think that's about it. So let's do our outro.
So, if you'd like to reach us by voicemail, you can call us at 1-785-ATA-WOW5 or 1-785-282-9695. You can send emails to show at allthingsazeroth.com. And if you like what we do here, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/allthingsaz. You can find the show over on Twitter at allthingsaz, Medros is at Medros, Fandeth is at Fandeth, Ali is at Aliandros K, and I'm at Tosley Postican. You can also find the network over at Dawnforge. You can join our new Battle.net group at bit.ly/bnetata. And please check out the other shows from Dawnforge Productions, including Group Quest, Shattered Soulstone, More Than Megapixels, and Across the Universe.
And we'll be back next week. In the meantime, take care, happy hunting, and we'll see you on the other side of LFR Battle for Drazhar Lore. Well, not me personally, but, you know, somebody.
Me.
This podcast brought to you by Dawnforge Productions, copyright 2019. Get more at thedawnforge.com.